Grace and mercy, peace and strength are yours. Yours from the God who not only allow crosses to come into your life, but from the God who gives you the strength to bear those crosses as you journey through this world. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I remembered. Just this past week, I sent out an email that began with those two words. Why? Because last Sunday, somebody asked me if I would send them something by email, and I said, sure, no problem. Thankfully, I wrote down a note in my trusty day timer, because by Sunday afternoon, I had completely forgotten all about what I was supposed to do. It wasn't until Tuesday when I saw that note in my day timer that I remembered to send out what that person was looking for. I have gotten to that stage in my life where it is very, very good for me to write things down so that I know what I am supposed to do, where I am supposed to be, and when I am supposed to be there. Now, I try to tell myself that the reason I now need to write more and more things down is because there's so many things to remember. But deep down inside, I have a feeling that there's a little more to that story. Thankfully, I have my trusty day timer so that I can write down the things that I need to remember. As you and I continue our Lenten sermon series entitled Get Ready for Easter, today the Apostle Paul comes to us like a concerned, loving father. He sits us down and he very quietly and yet very firmly says to you and to me, remember. There are three things that Paul says we need to remember this morning. First, Paul says, remember who you are. Then Paul says, remember the warnings of the past. And finally, Paul says to you and to me, remember the faithfulness of your God. The Christian congregation in the city of Corinth was the most richly blessed congregation that we read about on the pages of the New Testament scriptures. The good Lord had given to them every single spiritual gift that he gives to his church here on this earth. At the same time, the Christian congregation in the city of Corinth was the most troubled congregation that we read about on the pages of the New Testament scriptures. This congregation was struggling with sin, sins such as adultery and incense, drunkenness and lawsuits, favoritism, and a false understanding of Christian freedom. From Paul's perspective as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one common denominator that linked all of these sins, all of these troubles together, was a lack of appreciation for the amazing grace of God. Therefore, in this section of this letter that comprises our text for today, Paul comes to his brothers and sisters in the faith, and he very quietly, very lovingly, and yet very firmly says to them, remember. First and foremost, Paul encourages God's people to remember what the Lord God has done for them. First and foremost, Paul encourages God's people to remember who they are purely by the amazing grace of God. Look at what Paul says in the opening portion of our text. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they all drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul makes some very interesting and very powerful connections here in our text. First, Paul connects the pillar of cloud that led God's people out of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea, which rescued God's people from their enemies, with baptism. Every single child of God who followed that pillar of cloud out of Egypt and through the desert, every single child of God who saw those mighty walls of water, one on the right and the other on the left, as they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, every single one of those children of God knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they were privileged people. No other peoples on the face of the earth could claim that the Lord God had done something as wonderful for them. Paul then goes on to emphasize that God's people of old were indeed privileged people because of the way that the Lord miraculously provided for their needs. Here Paul connects the manna that Paul daily provided to his people with the water that miraculously gushed out of the rock for God's people, with the spiritual food that God continues to provide for his people right down to this very day. Paul even states that the spiritual rock that accompanied God's people through the desert was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Again, no other people on the face of the earth could claim that the Lord God had done such wonderful things for them. God's people are indeed privileged people. Everything, my friends, everything that the Apostle Paul emphasizes to the Christians in Corinth here in our text, everything that he encourages them to remember, we also need to remember as the children of God today. Remember who you are, purely by the amazing grace of the Lord your God. Remember the tremendous privilege that the God of heaven bestowed upon you when you were baptized with water in his holy name. Through this holy sacrament, God himself has washed you clean of all of your sins. Through this holy sacrament, God himself has created the gift of saving faith in your heart. Through this holy sacrament, God himself adopted you. He adopted you to be his own, dearly beloved, saved and forgiven child. This baptismal font serves as a visible, powerful reminder to you that you are privileged people. Unfortunately, Paul also needed to encourage God's people of old to remember the warnings that the Lord has recorded for them on the pages of Scripture. Look at verses 7 through 11 of our text. In verse 7, Paul emphasizes that even after everything the Lord had done for his people, God's people quickly turned to idolatry. They made a golden calf and bowed down to worship it. In verse 8, Paul emphasizes that even after everything the Lord God had done for his people, God's people knowingly and willingly engaged in sexual immorality. In verses 9 and 10, Paul emphasizes that even after everything God had done for his people, God's people tested the Lord and grumbled against their God. And then verse 11, Paul says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. Just as the Corinthian Christians needed to heed this warning so that they did not fall prey to the sin of idolatry or the sin of sexual immorality or the sin of testing and grumbling against God, so also we need to remember this very same warning as God's children today, my friends. We live in a society where idolatry is rampant, whether it's money or possessions, whether it's fame or popularity, whether it's power or pleasure. Over and over and over again, we are tempted to push God out of the number one place in our hearts and bow down to an idol. Like the Corinthian Christians, we also live in a society that is saturated with sex, whether it's television or the movies, whether it's music or magazines. And now there is easy access to the internet, and so we can say that sex is everywhere. We, of course, realize that casual sexual encounters have been taking place for millennia, but in our day it seems to be more open and certainly much more acceptable by the world in which we live. Back in the 60s and 70s, it was simply called free love. Free love then transformed into what was known as friends with benefits. And now friends with benefits has become hooking up. Hooking up is where you have a casual sexual encounter with someone that you're not even dating. It might be someone that you just met for the very first time. I'm told that in many cases, hooking up has all but replaced traditional dating, not just among high school students, but especially among the college students. Just as God's children of old were not immune to this temptation, just as God's children in Corinth were not immune to this temptation, don't think that you and I are somehow immune to this temptation, whether it is us or our children or our grandchildren. Satan is very, very good at tempting God's people to sin against the sixth commandment. So don't think that you are strong enough, and don't think that you are smart enough to play with fire and not get burned. What was it Paul said in our text? So if you think you are standing firm, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. And of course, we do indeed live in a society where testing the Lord and grumbling against God is commonplace. Instead of asking, how can I live my life to the glory of my Savior God? Even God's own children sometimes wonder, how much can I get away with before God steps in and disciplines me? Instead of being content with whatever the good Lord has graciously given to us, sometimes even God's own children fall into the trap of always wanting more and more and more. We need to fight against those temptations because of the fact that we are oftentimes confronted with temptations to sin against the Lord our God, and because of the fact that even though we are privileged people, we still have our own personal weaknesses and our own sinful nature to deal with. Paul closes our text for today by encouraging us to remember the faithfulness of our God. Look at what he says. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The fact that our God is faithful certainly does not mean that you and I will never be tempted to sin against him. No, rather, the fact that our God is faithful means that A, God will never allow us to be tempted beyond what you can bear, and B, God always provides a way out from underneath that temptation. The difficulty here, my friends, is twofold. The first difficulty is that either we don't realize how strong God has caused our faith to become, or we disagree with God's assessment of how much we are able to bear. As a result, we all too often give in to temptation without hardly even trying to resist it. Whenever we are tempted to sin against the Lord our God, we need to lift up our eyes to the cross on Calvary's Hill and remember God's faithfulness. Remember that God promised never to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. So when you are tempted, turn to God and ask him for help. Ask him to help you realize that with his guidance and with his help and with his strength, you will be able to avoid falling into that temptation. Ask God to fulfill his promise to you so that you will never be overwhelmed by temptation. The second difficulty that we encounter is that even though the Lord our God faithfully provides a way out so that you can stand up under that temptation. Sometimes we don't want a way out, do we? Sometimes, for whatever reason, we want to indulge our old sinful nature and go out and simply enjoy ourselves. This is when we need to stop and remember that we are privileged people, not because we inherently possess that right, not because we have done something to earn or deserve that right, but purely because of what the Lord our God has done for us. This is where we need to stop and remember what our God was willing to do in order to save us from our sins. This is where we need to stop and remember that if we consciously live our life in a way that causes our Savior to cry, then like God's people of old, we run the risk of forfeiting God's grace and enduring the consequences of His wrath. Because I usually write things down in my trusty old daytimer, I can honestly go back and look at where I was and what I was doing and remember it, even if it was years ago. Because the Lord our God has faithfully recorded everything we need to know right here on the pages of His holy word, we too have the opportunity to go back and remember, my friends, so as you and I are continuing to get ready to celebrate the festival of Easter, let's make sure that we use God's holy word so that we can remember. Remember who you are. Purely by the grace of God, you are privileged people. Remember the examples of those who have gone before you so that you can learn from the warnings that are recorded here in our text. And remember the faithfulness, yes, the faithfulness of the Lord your God. To God be the glory. Amen.